You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Jos Luiten becomes a six-time European Tour winner with victory at the inaugural NBO Oman Open.
I didn't know what to expect when I came here, but to play a course like this, which is in great conditions, it's a great technical golf course as well, and it was beyond my expectation, and to hold the trophy, it's even better.
We'll hear from Luiten shortly, as well as the runner-up, Chris Wood.
I thought if I broke 70 today, I'd be close. Jost played great to shoot 4-under, leading. He's a good mate of mine, so I'm annoyed that I haven't won, but yeah, I'm pleased for him.
We've a full review of all of the action from Oman, and we'll look ahead to the final events on this season's Desert Swing, the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm pleased to say that we've got a double header this week. I'm joined first and foremost by former European Tour player John Hawksworth. John, how are you?
Remarkably well, actually. Nearly survived another winter now.
Excellent. How many more is left, do you think,
I don't know. I don't take it for granted.
We've also got alongside us Jamie Kennedy, who is, brace yourself, content director for the European Tour and Ryder Cup Europe. It's a long title, Jamie.
It sounds impressive, doesn't it?
It is impressive. also impressive this week, chaps, Jost Luiten, of course, who won for the sixth time on the European Tour. An inaugural event on the full tour, John, in Oman,
yeah.
But we've seen it on the Challenge Tour previously, and it's a fantastic course, isn't
it? Yes, I've been lucky. I've been there right on the Gulf. Well designed by Norman, used a lot of sand, as you can imagine, out there to create a bit of definition down the sides with the dunes. But it's a nice style, linksy type golf course, and it can get a bit of breeze on it, but it was in perfect condition. You know, we've got four great tournaments now out in the Gulf, and it was well supported, and I think they had a worthy winner.
No doubt about that. Jost Luiten, who's not been knocking on the door necessarily recently, but we know what a good player he's been, Jamie, over the years, and six wins is certainly not to be sniffed at.
No, I think that's the thing that stuck out at me when I was watching last night and seeing him win is when you hear six wins, it's, you know, that's a good career to have six wins, and he's got that, and he's still sort of in the peak. And I think in years past, he's had years where he's managed to continue that form, and then he's had ones where he's battled it. But from being out on tour, I mean, Jost is one of the sort of most light guys on tour, hardest working guys on tour, and it was no surprise for us to see him sort of have that final round and take the victory.
10 players within four shots of the lead as the final group reached the turn. It did evolve, John, into a shootout between Luiten and Chris Wood on the back nine. It was the Dutchman who prevailed, as we know, carding a 68, which was joint best of the day, incidentally. 16 under, he finished two shots ahead of his English rival. He went out in the final group and didn't get off to the great start because Chris Wood managed to birdie the opener, but then consecutive birdies on 2, 3, and 4 really set up this success, Mr. Hawksworth.
Yeah, and the thing is, with Luiten, when you've won five times before, you know how to get across the line. He did have a wobble on the front nine, up 7 and 8, which took him level with Wood, who was a couple under for the day, going out in 34. And then Wood, a hole ahead, birdied 12. Luiten then followed it up to match him and draw level. Then Luiten birdied 13, and then Wood birdied 16, but Luiten rolled it in from 25 foot on 16 to go one ahead, and then Wood bogeyed 17, which made the 18th, which is a horrible hole if the breeze is off the left, which isn't very often. It comes off the golf, dogleg from left to right, green that tilts from back to front, don't want to go long on it. So with a bit of a luxury bogey at the last, he would win, but he made 4 and 1 by 2.
Chris Wood inched ahead on the odd occasion, drew level on the odd occasion, as John just explained there, Jamie, but you always felt that Jost just had enough to keep Chris Wood at bay down the stretch.
Yeah, it's interesting. Chris Wood and Jost Luiten are very, very good friends, and, you know, they hang out on
not
tour.
Now.
Maybe not. Well, we'll see how they are this morning, but certainly seemed there was some sportsmanship going on afterwards. But it was fun to see that and see them afterwards and things. But during the round, obviously very, very serious. And I think what you touched on there, Luiten getting off to that start and making those three early birdies, the whole final round set up for someone to try and grab it, take it, make a few birdies in a row, and then be the guy that everyone had to chase. And he did that. And, you know, as John mentioned, that putt, or the 25-footer that he made, was a clutch putt that you felt. That 18th hole, I mean, we see it on TV with the top tracer technology there and things. And to have to play that to make a 4 to win or a 5 for the playoff is a very different scenario from playing it to try and make a 5. And we saw that.
Which is not always easy to do because you're trying to plot your way up the hole. You know, players have discussed in the past, I think it was Graham McDowell, what do I need to do to not make seven at the last at Pebble Beach, where how your brain goes from positive to slightly scrambled.
Yep.
But he played the hole very well, bunkers up the left-hand side and the ocean eats on the right-hand side. But he's a really good striker, Loughton, especially with his irons. They say his chipping can be a little bit iffy sometimes, but I think he's a great striker.
Do you think that Jost realised he was in a bit of a head-to-head with Chris Wood playing the hole ahead, because they did draw clear of the chasing pack, and he would have seen those two par fives, 12 and 16, and thought, well, as long as I can keep tabs with Chris Wood, I'm going to keep it in bay. Would he have been aware of what's going on the course?
Yeah, your caddy knows. I tell you, when he's thinking percentage, he knows exactly what's going on the golf course. And of course, the scoring now is so fast and up to date. I'm sure he was aware. People who say, I don't
Some
look at leaderboards.
Some people don't, do they?
Do you know what? I don't really believe that. You don't look at leaderboards. Of course you do. You want to know exactly where you are.
Yeah, I think you do. I think it's an interesting thing that John can probably discuss more than I can, but I always find it interesting that if you're chasing the guy that's playing in front of you, you're almost watching them the whole way around. You're waiting on the tee. You're seeing them celebrate. You're seeing them hold putts.
So that makes it easier.
I think if you're playing the way that Luton is, you'd rather have holes to play than be in the clubhouse. He was playing so well, he was ball striking so well. You know, for once, I think he struggles a little bit with his putting. He's sort of chopped and changed. It was interesting to see this year. He's gone back to his traditional putter. He used a different one for the second half of last year, and he actually led the field in putts last week. So I think when you're putting that well, you want holes rather than to be in the clubhouse, and be able to see Chris Wood in front of him is probably a bit of an advantage.
Well, one thing he does do, he puts like he swings. You watch a lot of players. Loughton, he's got a brisk putting action. He's got a brisk swing. Westwood, he's slow back, then delivers the club. His putting style is pretty slow back, then delivers the club. But it works. It works for Loughton, and it's all between the ears. You remember he birdied a third of the course on Sunday. All right, made two bogeys, but to shoot level 68 around that golf course is good playing, because it can blow.
Of the last 54 holes, I mean, he shot 72 on Thursday, and he birdied 21 of his last 54 holes.
Yeah, which is very impressive.
In contention, that's almost half the holes, and he's making birdie. Really, really impressive stuff over the weekend.
And also didn't panic. It's easy to panic. You know, he shoots 72 in most.
Does that come with the experience of winning five times
absolutely.
Previously?
Yeah, he knows, well, I'm playing all right, something will happen. He's not flapping, thinking cut or anything like that. He's gone from an average round to winning the golf tournament by two shots.
But do you get into a different mindset when you're a proven winner? You go for the win. You don't back away.
Yeah.
You're not looking to get into the next event, to get into an event down the line. You are thinking, well, I'm going to win this. You look at some of the players that dropped away over the course of the back nine. The Julian Guerriers, who's done well on the Challenge Tour, but this is a step up. And the Jorge Campillo, who hasn't won on the European Tour yet. And those players that just finished in behind that didn't put it together on the back nine. That's the difference sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And even, you know, you think of Chris Wood as being that guy that maybe is in the same boat as Luton. They're the two that sort of separated themselves a little bit. But even Chris is going through, you know, a bit of a new coach and trying to figure his swing out a little bit. So maybe he's sort of questioning things more, whereas Luton looked the most comfortable. His swing looked very repeatable, and he looked unflustered the whole way around.
Terrific performance, and I am delighted to say that we can talk to Jost now. Congratulations, a 6-tour title. That is some going. It's turning out to be a fantastic career.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, it's been a great week, you know, and I heard some good stories before we got there from Dan Huizing, who played there as well. He played on Challenge 2 there, and he told me it was a great golf course, but I didn't know it was this good, and I didn't know I was going to like it as much as I did.
One of the prettiest courses you'll probably play all year on tour. What were the aspects that you enjoyed of it?
Oh, it's what you say. It's the location of the golf course. It's right on the sea. It's just in perfect conditions as well. It's not only the beauty of the golf course, but also the conditions of the golf course. It's right up there with the best that we play all year. And technically, the layout is a very tough and demanding golf course, and every aspect of the game gets tested.
Yeah, Jost, I've got a question. We noticed that you changed your putter this season. You've gone back to the traditional one, and I think you led the field in putts per round and were holing putts, especially that one late on yesterday. I just wondered if you could talk about the change and about how comfortable you felt on the greens.
Yeah, I mean, I played with the Spider putter last year, something that I wanted to try, and something that you heard a lot about when that putter came out. So I wanted to try it, and it's a bit different balance. The weight is further back, so they say it's a bit more consistent. I tried it, and it didn't really work out for me. And then I thought, all right, what am I going to do? And I just went back to the putter that I know that works for me, the putter that I won 4 tour events with. And immediately, this was the second week that I played with it. And yeah, it's just the old feels just getting back, and the trust in the putter is right there. And they're so important with putting, that you trust what you see and what you feel. And with the spider putter, I was struggling with that sometimes.
Well, you didn't struggle yesterday. You effectively went head to head down the stretch with a good friend of yours, Chris Wood. Were you aware of what he was doing the hole ahead of you, Jost?
Yeah. I always like to watch the leaderboards, and he was playing in front of me, so a lot of the time I could see what he was doing. Although I try to focus on my own game, but sometimes you just can't not look at what he's doing. And I saw him in the water hazard on the 17th on the left. So I saw him making bogey there, and then that's when I knew, all right, I got two shots now, and if I just make two pars, it's mine.
When you've won, which you have for the sixth time, do you like to take the following week off to recharge, or do you like to keep going?
Well, normally I would like to keep going. I'm a big believer that if you play well, you need to keep on playing. And when you struggle with your game, you might as well take a couple more weeks off and work on your game. But now with the schedule changes, because I get into Mexico now, I felt like I needed to change the schedule a little bit and taking the car off and get be fresh and strong for Mexico, which is of course a big week with a lot of points. So I'm trying to focus on that one now.
Yeah, a lot of points, of course, for the Ryder Cup. Is that on your agenda? It must be.
Yeah, of course. I mean, everybody knows it's a Ryder Cup year, and when you win a tournament, you start to look at the rankings, and it's still a long, long way from the Ryder Cup. But I made a good start to the season. And now hopefully I can maintain this form and hopefully sneak in another one or two wins and have a chance to qualify for the team.
Do you think that is what it will take? You're 10th on the European points list, just shy of 500,000 points behind Matt Fitzpatrick in fourth. You're 11th on the world points list. Do you think it's going to take maybe two wins to get there?
Yeah, I think two wins, and it also depends on which tournament you win. You know, there's of course a big difference between some of the tournaments and the big ones. But at the end of the day, I just try to focus on the coming weeks, on the coming tournaments, and I try to do as well and as good as I can. And then hopefully it will be enough. But it's not something that's on your mind. You just try to win every event you enter. And if you try to do that, the rest hopefully will take care of itself.
And just tell all the listeners, Jost, how good a venue, as well as a golf course, Paris National is for the Ryder Cup.
Oh, it's a great venue. It's going to be, I think, one of the best Ryder Cups we will ever see. It's a very tough golf course as well. So there's a lot of water. There's a lot of things that can go wrong. It's going to be in perfect conditions. Hopefully the weather is going to be good at that time as well. But it's going to be just every hole is going to be like a little stadium hole, because you've got the natural mounts around the greens and the hole, and it's just going to be an unbelievable atmosphere, I think. So I'm looking forward to hopefully be there.
Jost, as well as the Ryder Cup this year, we've also got the Winter Olympics going on, and I'm curious, how close were you to potentially qualifying as a ski jumper?
if I would have been still doing it, I think I have a good chance, because Holland is not really a ski jumping a nation, so I think I have a good chance to qualify. But I only did that for one or two years when I was 10 years old, but I'm happy that I've been to the Summer Olympics for golf.
Yeah, exactly. You made it.
Did you not find it a bit slippy when you were doing it?
A little bit. You get used to it.
Yeah.
You didn't fancy speed skating. There's some decent Dutch speed skaters.
Yeah, I mean, we're really good in speed skating. I think all the medals are from speed skating this year. I think we got one medal in short track, but that's pretty much the only winter sport that we can do here. You know, we don't have any mountains. We don't have a lot of snow. So the only thing we can do is skate on the ice.
Well, it's not downhill for you from here on in, because your trajectory is flying. A sixth tour win. Many thanks for joining us on the Race to Dubai show. Jost, we'll speak again soon.
Well done.
Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon.
I must admit, I didn't know about the ski jump thing. That's something you've pulled out from the European
tour.
Yeah,
I remember.
Absolutely.
He didn't say there, but he actually represented his country. I mean, at the age of sort of 10 to 12, and I think he had an accident that forced him to play golf.
I can imagine that, jumping off a building with a pair of skis on you.
It's a little more high risk than golf, I think.
John, when you were deciding between golf and any other sport, what was the other sport that you were close to turning pro in? Canoeing?
No. Snooker.
Really?
Yeah. Thought about snooker.
Really?
Yeah.
What's your highest break?
111.
111, what's that? That's 11 reds and...
No, it's just 111. It doesn't work like that.
Oh, okay.
It is 11 reds, though.
Unbelievable. Terrific to hear from Joost. Where do we think he can get in his career? Six wins. Yeah. Has he got a major in him? Has he got the game maybe to produce at a certain venue?
I think his game is built on consistency. You look at his swing, doesn't change much. Like John said, his putting stroke's very similar to his swing. He seems to be a very solid and straight guy. When he's playing well and he's putting well, he seems to be a good front runner. So I think if you get him on a tough golf course, he seems to do quite well on courses that demand that you strike the ball well. It's a shame he's not playing Qatar this week because it would suit his game, but obviously he's tuning up for Mexico. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see from now on if he can take it to the next level and start competing in WGCs and majors, but he certainly seems like a very strong European Tour winner.
Would he have to change something about his game, John, to get to that next level?
No.
Or is that the mistake that we've seen players make?
No. He's won six times with what he's got. The only thing that you might want to change, he's a very level player, I think, when he's playing, is perhaps the mental side of it. There's nothing wrong with his game. He swings it straight up and down the line. He doesn't deviate. He's got a brisk, crisp action, and he putts well. One slight thing, maybe improve a little bit of work on the chipping. They say he's not the best in the world, but there's nothing wrong with his game. It's your head, invariably, that gets in the way of you. And looking at the size of yours is no surprise.
Oh, thanks for that, John. To the runner-up now, and a return to form for Chris Wood after he missed his first three cuts of the season.
Yeah, I've played poorly for 6-8 months without ever thinking you put yourself in contention in a tournament, and then when you do, you're gutted when you don't win. So, yeah, I'm pretty down, really, but on the grand scheme of things, it's night and day to where I've been, really. So after a couple of days, I'm sure I'll sort of reflect and think, well, big step in the right direction this week. The key for me really was the front nine to be at least a couple under, I felt, because the back nine, I feel like there's quite a few chances where you might nick two or three, and I thought if I broke 70 today, I'd be close. Joost played great to shoot 4 under leading. He's a good mate of mine, so I'm annoyed that I haven't won, but yeah, I'm pleased for him. We spend a lot of time together, so it's great to see a friend win. On to Qatar, where I've won before. Yeah, given I've turned up at most events with no confidence, I probably feel like I can go to an event next week with a little bit of confidence now.
Seems quite down about his second place. You see, from an outsider looking in like me, I just think second, return to form. He's got to take the positives there, Jamie. But pro golfers, they just want to win, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. I think that was probably his initial reaction. I think everyone that knows Woody knows that that's a good sign for him, that he's getting back into form. He's a guy that can win. He can win multiple times. And he's going through a few sort of swing changes at the moment. But it's probably good confirmation for him that his changes are working out, that he could finish like that and put together a final round that was, you know, the best other than Luton. So it wasn't, he didn't throw it away at all. I mean, he'll be kicking himself for that late bogey, but it was a impressive week for him.
Yeah, and back with his old coach, Paul Mitchell. He's got to take positives when the dust settles on that event, John, hasn't he?
You've got to remember he's interviewed right after when it's just happened. So he's going to be a little bit distraught, upset, whatever. You know, you're trying to deal with the media at the time when you probably really don't want to speak to anyone. One thing he did do a few years ago is he altered his posture. He used to stand. He's a big, big guy.
He's tall, isn't he? What is he?
6'4", 6'5". Yeah, but he used to stick his backside out, which used to put horrendous pressure on your discs at the bottom of your back, and that's how he got back trouble. So he had to stop doing that, where he didn't push the top of his backside out. I'm doing it now, sat in the chair. Which
it's good radio.
Doesn't work on radio, and I can tell you it's hurting. And when you're hitting a lot of golf balls, so he altered that, which is a massive thing because he'd always done it. But going back to his old coach, that might be just something. It's obviously worked to have a no-show and then to finish second and then go to this week, where he's won before. Remember the 5-iron he hit at the last into the par 5? And I think he made eagle to win it. Fantastic shot. That's a great hole to finish with in Qatar. So he's a class player. I expect him to have a good season now.
Yeah, it's interesting hearing about you talk about his height and how he potentially struggles to deal with that from a swing point of view. He's a guy that doesn't hit it necessarily as long as you'd imagine. He hits that sort of consistent cut, whereas Joost Luton's very straight. But interestingly, I remember sitting with him in Wentworth last year on a practice day, or it was a day that he came to preview. And I'm 6'3", and I had my clubs, and he's at least 2-3 inches taller than me. But my clubs are 1¾ inches longer, and his are 1 inch longer. And when he took mine, he said, "Oh, these are too long." And I said, "But I'm yeah, looking but up to you." That, but yeah. Obviously, he knows his stuff better and gets his equipment. But I think he was struggling with that posture thing. And I have to say, whether it's just confidence or something, but the posture of just you see him walking when he's interviewed, when he's swinging, just looks improved. And hopefully, he can have put together another great season.
Well, Frenchman Julien Gourrier finished third at 13 under after a final day 71.
I didn't start really well, just missed a few putts. The birdie on 12, it was very nice for me because after that I start playing much better. When you don't win, you feel under pressure, you are a little bit bad or less good. But finish third, it's good. It's the beginning of season. I start with an appendix surgery before Hong Kong. I miss three events, the three first events. So now I'm happy. We can have a chat on this week and build some good confidence, I think.
That's the difference, isn't it? When you speak to someone who's new to the full tour, having won on the Challenge Tour, he's taking huge positives from his performance in Oman, John.
Well, yeah, the Challenge Tour is a great learning ground to come out on tour. So you get out on tour and then, I think he said he'd had surgery, didn't he, mm-hmm. there? And then he's had that finish now. All right, it was shaky to start because he bogeyed 9 and 10 to be a couple over for the day, then to make 3 birdies in the last 8 holes, well, last 7 holes, really. Shows good character and financially would have made a massive difference to him. And then building on and going forward, of course, top 10, he's into the next event anyway. He probably would have got in Qatar. But to be in the top 10, if you can roll on and do that, you pinch a couple more tournaments. It's top 5 if they're co-sanctioned, top 10 if they're not co-sanctioned. So, yeah, it's a big positive. Whereas we heard of Chris Wood, he's taken a positive out of it because he's had a sort of a bad start to the season. So it's different things for different players.
2 wins on the Challenge Tour. He's a player on the rise, isn't he?
Definitely. He's one of a crop of these sort of young Frenchmen that are coming out at the moment. I think the whole of France, and maybe it's going to come a little too late for the Ryder Cup for these guys, but there's about 5 or 6 of them from the sort of Wattel and Levies, and the guys are in their mid-20s. And I have to say, I'd really enjoyed watching him play the whole week. I loved watching him just swing. He just has a very smooth, consistent swing, seemed to have a bit of confidence. And I think that comes from the Challenge Tour. We have a lot of guys coming out on tour now who say that 72-hole event, traveling the world, full schedule, the sort of lure of the European Tour at the end, the guys that are coming out from the Challenge Tour now aren't, you know, making up the bottom of the field in the European Tour. They're ready to compete, they're ready to win, and they're coming out stronger, and that was a perfect example of another one.
Levy makes the Ryder Cup.
You heard it here first.
That's my prediction.
That's a guarantee, is it?
Of course,
is there a forfeit with this guarantee? So if he doesn't make it, what's going to happen?
Well, I'll be wrong.
Not for the first time, I suspect.
And if you hang on a few minutes when I give you my tips for this week.
Gourrier was third, battle-hardened from the Challenge Tour, as we heard. We need the full top 10, John, from Oman.
Well, we know that Joost Luiten won by 2 shots from Chris Wood. Third, Julien Gourrier. Fourth, tied Jorge Campillo, Sung Soo Han, and also Alexander Levy, my tip to get in the Ryder Cup. Then seventh tied, Robert Rock, although he finished with 3 bogeys. Fabrizio Zanotti. Ninth tied, Stephen Gallagher. Nice to see him playing better again. And another Frenchman, Benjamin Herbert, and Matthew Southgate, the Englishman. That's the top 11.
One other thing of note from Oman. Marcel Siem aced the 162-yard 13th during round one. Then moments later, Matthew Southgate did the same at the 165-yard 5th hole, and both with 7 irons. And if that's not enough of a coincidence for you, let's join Southgate very much in the twilight zone.
I have Gary Tilston caddies for me, just started this week, and Guy Tilston, his twin brother, caddies for Marcel, so a bit of a strange one for them both to pull the right club for 2 hole-in-ones in a day. I'm sure that will never happen again, so no, it was great out there today with Gary. We worked really well, and obviously chuff for Marcel as well, a good friend of mine, so it's always a bit of fun getting a hole-in-one.
I remember last year as well, Marcel Siem holding one in the Porsche European Open in Germany and won a car. A very nice one.
Indeed, slam dunked it, if I remember. Didn't even bounce it.
Yeah, right on the fly, which is an impressive shot because it's not very big, the hole, Dan, you know.
I know. Twins, though, on the bags of this pair. Gary Tilston on the bag of Mr. Southgate and his twin brother Guy on the bag of Marcel. It's incredible.
Yeah, I genuinely couldn't believe it, and I don't think any of us really realised until Southgate mentioned it afterwards, and then we scrambled to try and get the two guys together and get their quotes and get it up on the website and get photos of them and things, but just, I mean, what are the chances?
Predictions from last week, and just a reminder of the competition, how it is for 2018. It is presenter versus co-presenter, so Jamie, you're going to have to split your selections, I think, this week, so it's fair. Two picks each. One pick has to be from outside the top 50 in the final 2017 R2D standings. The scoring system works like this. 20 points for a winner. You listening, John?
Yeah.
10 for five, five for a top 20, and minus five for a missed cut. Now, last week, Robert Lee and Jamie Spence filled these seats. Mr. Lee went for Alex Levy, who was tied fourth, so he got 10 points. Also, Thomas Detry, who was 31st, so he doesn't get anything for that. So 10 points all told. Jamie Spence went for Andy Sullivan and Alexander Bjork. They were both inside the top 20, 16th and 12th, respectively. Picks up 5 points apiece, so also 10 points. So the presenter so far, he's still awake, John, 55 points, and the co-presenter is 20. So you need to pull your socks up, basically, this week.
I just have done, actually.
Really? How's your back after that?
Fine.
We need the Race to Dubai top 10.
Do we?
Yes.
Right, well, I have that in front of me, which is very handy. Well, at the moment, it's Shubhanka Sharma leading for Tommy Fleetwood, Hao Tong Lee in third, Rory McIlroy fourth, Jorge Campillo fifth, very consistent, Chris Paisley sixth, Dylan Fratelli seventh, Wade Ormsby eighth, Yao Slouten now ninth, and the Englishman Ross Fisher in 10th.
Ryder Cup lists, we're getting ever closer. Jamie's got the details.
On the European points list, it's Justin Rose, Tyrrell Hatton, Ross Fisher and Matthew Fitzpatrick, four Englishmen there. And on the world points list, we've got John Ram, Tommy Fleetwood, Sergio Garcia and Rory McIlroy making up the top eight.
How are we feeling Ryder Cup at the moment, Europe versus the United States? Jamie, what do you think? I mean, you know, the United States was so good last time. Is Golf National going to be a leveler or are boys going to be a lot better this time? What are your thoughts?
I think the general consensus worldwide is the Americans are the favourites. I think this year so far, though, we have a lot of reason to be confident. I think you look at that list and you've got John Ram winning, Tommy Fleetwood winning, Rory coming back into form, Justin Rose finishing last year in such fine form, Tyrrell Hatton. I mean, there's going to be a good class of rookies. We're expecting Hatton, Norin, Ram, Fleetwood, these guys to come in, but that's a different crop of rookies and also guys that play that course very well. So I think the sort of young breed of players that are going to be in the team is going to be an advantage this year, whereas some years in the past, that, you know, perhaps they're the guys that you're going to rest. These guys are going to come in ready to start. And I think you can't underestimate just how big an advantage it is that we're going to a course that these guys play every year.
See, Jamie, you would say that because you work for the European Tour.
I have to. We're recording, right?
John?
Americans.
Yes.
Overrated.
Really?
No, they've got some great players. But listen, our lads are very, very good. But there is not the gulf from the Americans to the Europeans everybody's talking about. It'll be a fantastic Ryder Cup and we have got some really, really good players. But I'm being serious, I think they're overrated. All right, they won the last one and I think that might be good for the Ryder Cup. Mm-hmm. But our boys won't lie down and Paris National is probably, in my memory bank, the finest venue that the Ryder Cup's going to be at in modern time, I think.
A lot of risk and reward, isn't it? It should be a cracking Ryder Cup venue.
Oh, it's just going to be unbelievable. I mean, I've been lucky enough to be privy to a lot of the plans that are going in place, from the infrastructure to the sort of build and the spectator village and where the opening ceremonies are going to take place. And I have to say that those last four holes, I mean, you don't have to be a golf fan. You don't even have to be a sports fan to appreciate what's going to go on there. I mean, there's certain positions you can sit and watch the last four holes. There's water on all of them. They're a tough test. I mean, the majority of, because it's match play, the matches will be finishing that little sort of cauldron. And yeah, the course itself, I mean, what a test. I expect that we're going to get it, you know, tight fairways, big rough, tight pins, unlike what we saw in Hazeltine when a few of the players weren't very happy on Sunday.
Are you leaking a little bit of information here? What can you tell us that you've learnt then with these meetings that you've been having?
If I told you, I'd probably have to kill you, so I can't tell you quite that. But no, I have to say that I think we're going to be releasing it soon, but the grandstand around the first. So the grandstand's going to wrap around the first tee and the 18th green, and I think you look at grandstands in the past, and even Glen Eagles was sort of 1,500, 2,000 seats, and this one is 24 metres high and will be 7,000 seats around the first tee.
How are your nerves on that first tee, John?
I was talking to, he'll remain nameless, this Ryder Cup player, though, but he was playing against an American, Tom Watson, Watson, with all the success he'd had, this was at the Belfry, had to use two hands to tee the ball up. He had to go with one. He was shaking so badly, he had to use two. And eventually, it took a minute to get the ball on the tee before he duffed it about 170 yards. That's what the ride is. And this guy's won 8 majors.
The nerves also jangle when it comes to the Fantasy Race to Dubai game, I'm sure. It is congratulations to listener Christian Hope after his team, Haskell Hackers, scored the most points in the show's mini league last week. Magnus Dulke retains the overall lead with R2D show editor Steve Tebb breathing down his neck. I didn't think we were going to include Steve in the script today, but
well,
we are.
He's squeezed in.
He's squeezed in, hasn't he? He might be the only time that he's ever been mentioned on the show, but good on Tebby. Nicholas Hansen jumps to the top of the global standings with Michael Brown, the best in the world last week. Jamie, have you got a team? Have you entered?
I do have a team. We've got a team internally over European Tour HQ.
You lot must go close to winning it.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah.
You'd expect
that's
so.
Not
but
the case.
I think we end up just going with our favourites rather than smart betting. But yeah, I did have Luton in my team last week, but wasn't confident enough to put him as captain, so I'm kicking myself over that. But yeah, it's great fun and a good way to preview every week.
It is, isn't it? You get yourself very much in tune with the next event. John, have you got a team?
No.
Why not? Have you got a computer?
A what?
You got a phone?
A what?
Have you got anything up in the frozen north?
We've just got the electric.
Really?
And I've had an outside loo fitted.
Excellent. What did you use previously?
Next door.
Are you going to get a team in, John?
I will get round to it, yes.
Just I hope so. You know, you can start late. You're a late bloomer.
Developer.
Yeah, aren't you? You know, you can't live on that Lytham Trophy success forever, you know.
You're absolutely right.
You can join in. We're going to press gang John into a team. Go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. Pick your team. And then if you want to join our private league, you must enter our private league PIN, which is... lowercase VW, uppercase R, lowercase JGR, uppercase JN, lowercase Y.
I think you just highlighted to me why I'm not on it.
We can email you the PIN. Don't forget to check out the Fantasy 3 to watch for this week's event on europeantour.com. With our tips to come in just a few minutes' time. So there's a few to strike through there, I'm sure. On to this week's event next, the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters at the Doha Golf Club with Junghoon Wang, the defending champion. Tell us, John, about Doha Golf Club, because it's been used for this event forever.
It is a very good golf course indeed. Pretty thick rough around it. But the one thing that happens in Qatar a lot is the wind gets up. I've been there probably about half a dozen times doing various things. And when it blows there, although it's a thin wind because it's warm, it's an absolute brutal golf course to play. And there's been some very good winners around there. I mean, you think of Paul Laurie won round there. He's a good wind player. Adam Scott's won round there. It's a tester for the boys. And it's been going now, I think Qatar's been going about 15, 18 years, hasn't it?
Long-running event.
Tony Johnson won. Andrew Coulthard won round there
98,
as well.
98, was it the first one?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so 20 years.
20 years.
Good golf course. Very grainy greens, but as I say, the breeze is one of the elements there. Chris Wood, we mentioned earlier on, has won round there. So is Garcia. So I'm looking forward to Qatar, and I know the players are.
Yeah, you mentioned Laurie, obviously an Open winner. Adam Scott's won there, who should have won the Open a few years ago. Thomas Bjorn has won there, who had chances of winning the Open. Chris Wood, obviously, is an amateur, did brilliantly, and post that as well. Is it a bit of a linksy course then?
Yeah, it does seem to play that well, and it'll be interesting to see. I'm not giving away anything from my fantasy picks, but I'd favour guys that had played last week as well. I mean, the course is quite similar. They played in a bit of wind there, maybe not as much as they'll see in Qatar, but the courses are quite similar. Like you say, I think it favours someone that can shape the ball, someone that can flight the ball when the wind comes up and they're hitting into the wind. All the holes sort of tend to go in different directions so you don't face the same wind. And you're right, you look at guys like Garcia, Brendan Grace, Paul Laurie, Ernie Els, all these guys that have won there, they can all hit different shot shapes, but they hit a lot of knockdowns. So I'd stay away from anyone that puts the ball too high in the air here.
Okay, I'm contractually obliged to read some of the producer's notes for the course, so here we go. You can comment if you like. Some holes are framed by natural rock formations, others are framed by water, lakes that are both obstacles and aesthetic features. There are around about 5,000 shrubs, 6,000 trees, 10,000 cacti imported from Arizona, including 65 giant cacti.
You must come round for dinner.
Part 5, 9th, 639-yard monster. You say that the ball flight is important. You've got to hit it out there as well, haven't you?
Water all the way down the right, slight dogleg from left to right, very flat golf hole. I think they're going to lay a taxi on up there because it's such a long way. It's very, very... In fact, I'm struggling to think of anybody I've ever seen reach that in two because it doesn't play with a helping breeze. It's normally off the left, blowing you into the water, Dan, where I know you like to spend a lot of time.
Always. 11 of the last 13 winners all ranking inside the top 15 for driving distance on the week. You've got to hit it out there, Jamie.
Yeah, and despite the rough being quite tough to play out of, it being a desert course, if you go way offline, you almost have an easier shot than if you go slightly offline.
That seems to be the case everywhere.
Yeah, so it seems to be the kind of course that encourages... There's lots of holes there where you are just getting up and you just need to really get it out there, and then the challenge really becomes, you know, finding the green surfaces and getting the ball in the hole. But yeah, definitely favours those that can give it a good spank off the tee.
Let's mention some of the field, some players that potentially will go well. I've got a list here. I need some comments from you two. Andy Sullivan, 16th in Oman, top 20 last three in Qatar, made the Ryder Cup, of course, in 2016. What are we thoughts on Andy this week?
Yeah, I think Andy's proven that he can play there well. He seems to be coming into a bit of form. I think he struggled a little bit in the last sort of 8 to 10 months. But we all know he's a great player. Again, suits that sort of course of being able to shape the ball to knock it down out of the air. And I think the years that we've seen him play here well, his short game's just been sharp. I think you need to do that as well. The rough around the greens, I mean, he held a ridiculous flop shot here last year. And that can help in getting up and down. But yeah, definitely one to watch.
Chris Wood, John, you mentioned him previously as a former winner. And when he considers his performance last week, although he was a bit disappointed not to win, he's got to be confident coming into Qatar.
Well, he's going back to the place he's won. He's playing well. I mean, it couldn't be better, could it? If he can't draw confidence after finishing second, all right, he's disappointed he didn't win. But it's how he's thinking. When he gets there, he's playing well.
Shubhankar Sharma has won twice on tour, but he hasn't played Qatar before. Do you need to have played it before to be successful? Is he going to find it difficult on his debut?
Well, he can obviously play, of course, but it doesn't take these guys long to get used to the course. But it's different conditions, slightly different grass. And if it's a new venue, I think it's an advantage that you've played it before. A couple of practice rounds, though. The golfer soon slots in. They're very instinctive, intuitive out on the golf course. He'll work it out. Whether it's the right course for him, we'll see.
Torbjørn Olesen didn't play last week, but you know his form last season towards the end of it in the bigger events was good, and he's got some good numbers at Qatar as well.
Yeah, he's a guy that I find strangely seems to play well in a wind that hits a ball high, hits it quite hard off the tee. He can be a little wild off the tee, but it's, you know, that performance he had at the Dunhill a couple of years ago proved how well he can play in wind, and he has done well here before. He struggles with consistency, so it'll be interesting to see if he could get four consistent rounds put together.
I've mentioned a handful. John, who else catches your eye? Who else would be on your fantasy team, for example, this week?
I would be looking towards who played well last week, Jorge Campillo. I haven't quite checked if he's playing.
He is
so consistent, Campillo. It's only a matter of time till he wins. And then a little bit further down, Coulthard. I quite fancy Coulthard to play. Okay, Eddie Pepperell. Not much happened for him. Alexander Bjork played well last week. Richard Sterney is somebody I'm always... He's a bit like a rose. He's just waiting for him to fully open. Great player. He's won 5 times out on tour. Nacho Elvira, the big-hitting Spaniard. Then you've got Wang, haven't you, who is defending. I don't see it as an SSP Tour Asia golf course. Jordan Smith hasn't sprung into life yet. Romain Wattel's had a win on tour, and I'm waiting for him to get going.
Yeah, you can only pick two, though. Who catches your eye, Jamie?
I think three players that I noted in the field that I was quite interested in. I think if you made this course 300 yards shorter, Matteo Manassero would win. He is a guy that can hit the ball head height with a wedge. It's just the one thing he struggled with over the years is just having that distance off the tee. It sort of really dented his career there for a few years when he tried to chase after the distance off the tee. But he has been playing well, so it'll be interesting to see if the wind's maybe not there, maybe he can compete. Campillo, like John said...
He looks sort of winner waiting to happen category.
Exactly. I mean, he's probably the next on the list of guys that are going to break through. I think he's finished second and fourth the last 2 weeks, and he actually led Qatar last year through 36 holes and before sort of falling to... I think he's had top 20 the last 2 years, so a guy that people should be looking out on. And then one name for your list that we've not seen a whole lot of this year, but we saw so much of him last year, is Julian Suri. He's coming back from the States.
It's his debut in Qatar, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he's coming back to play and had such a fantastic year last year. showed that he could play well on the wind in sort of Denmark and the Czech, and could be a course that suits him as a debut guy, and he's coming back and making a return.
Okay, we need two predictions. John, what are you going for?
Incidentally, Surrey's attached to a Hampton, it says here.
Well, the Hamptons.
Golf Club at Southampton.
I've played that course, actually.
Have you?
Yeah.
Is it good?
Near Jacksonville, where I went to university. So, yeah, it is good. And surprisingly, even being in Florida, it does get a little windy there.
I
realised it wasn't Southampton on the south coast here, because it's two words. My two picks, I'm going to surprise you here.
Go on.
I'm going for Torbjørn Olesen.
Okay.
And my second one is Sam Horsfield.
Why do you like Sam Horsfield this week?
He played well last week for a while.
Put
he was
you on the
up
spot
there,
didn't I?
No, Poulter rates him massively, very highly indeed. I think he's going to have a big future. Olesen, multiple winner, good player. I know he hits it high, but he can play the game. So I'm going for two different players this week. Yourself?
Well, I always go last. Presenter goes last. Incidentally, Sam was on the show last week, talks very, very well, and obviously got a big future in the game after what happened last year. Jamie, who do you like?
Yeah, I think there's a few guys. Interestingly, for your guys' picks, Campillo didn't finish in the top 50 in the Race to Dubai last year, so if you're looking for someone to pick as an outsider...
I've picked him previously.
So, I mean, he does look like the... I mean, I don't think you can look away from him. I mean, he's been in great form. I think he's finished in the top 15 four of his last five starts, and he's going to a course that he likes. So, for me, he's a guy to keep an eye on. And I still like keeping an eye on Manicero. I think just the way he plays, the form he's been in, you know, it's going to be tough for him to get back in and get a victory.
Four missed cuts from five in Qatar.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to rain on your parade, Jamie. I don't want to say you're wrong.
Well, this is just going to make the story even better come next week.
So I've been sat with Mystic Mag.
Campillo and Manicero then for Jamie. I'm going to go, and I'm surprised that none of you two went for these two. I'm going to go for Andy Sullivan and Chris Wood.
Well, I'd throw you a mackerel, but I haven't got one. Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, your pick's your pick, isn't it?
Of course it is.
That's why you get last choice.
In other news, Bubba Watson said that he was close to retiring last year after winning his 10th PGA Tour title at the Genesis Open. The two-time Masters winner won by two strokes from fellow Americans Kevin Na and Tony Finau. Great to see Bubba back in the winner's enclosure. He obviously likes Riviera. That's three wins now at the LA track. John, he lost all that weight, lost a bit of power, but he's still got plenty of skill.
Oh, how's he? I've watched a couple of his shots in slow motion. The way he moves his body is not a way that you would particularly teach. Unfortunately, it's not been coached out of him. The hip turn and the shoulder turn and the way he gets his legs back to what we call center to then, and the lag he holds in the club, which is the angle between the wrist and the shaft, is extraordinary. It's just natural talent.
Is he going to target the Ryder Cup? I guess he will do. Now, he wanted to be an assistant, didn't he, I think? And now, surely, he's got to look at making the team.
I think it will be, you know, well and truly on his list. I mean, considering what happened last time he went to France, I don't think he got the best reception. So, as a European Ryder Cup official, I'm desperate for him to be there. I want to see how the fans react to him being there.
He'll get some abuse.
But no, a great win. And one other point was I thought it was great to see Graham McDowell back in contention for a while there.
And a poor final round.
Really struggled on Sunday. Yeah. It was maybe one round too many for him. But a guy that's won round Le Golf National twice and has mentioned how much he loves it, I think it's going to be a little bit outside of his reach this year. But if Thomas Bjorn is looking for the experience in the team, he's got to be one of the guys on his shortlist at the moment.
Bubba, incidentally, is up to 40th in the world rankings from 117th. We need the top 10. John?
Right, the top 10 are as follows. 10th, Rory McIlroy. 9th, Brooks Koepka. 8th, Jason Day. 7th, Ricky Fowler. 6th, Hideki Matsuyama. 5th, Justin Rose. 4th, Justin Thomas. 3rd, Jordan Spieth. 2nd, John Rahm. And at number 1, it is still Dustin Johnson.
I think I'm right in saying that Dustin Johnson has now been number 1 for 52 consecutive weeks. Only 4 other players have managed that. Quiz time, fingers on buzzers. Who are the other 4?
Tiger.
I know this, so I can't.
Ah, okay. Well, we could be here all day with John.
Norman.
Yeah.
Els.
No. Good radio, this.
Tiger, Norman.
Try and say something while you're thinking. No, don't.
Tiger, Norman. I'm struggling.
Tiger, Norman.
Vijay Singh?
No.
Oh, go on, give us a clue.
Jamie's got them.
Yeah, it's McIlroy and Faldo, the other two.
Well,
but I think one of the things that's interesting on the world rankings there, talking about the Ryder Cup, there's 10 Europeans in the top 20 currently. You know, you talk about the Americans having this real strong top side to their team with the likes of Spieth, DJ, and Thomas, but we've got 10 in the top 20, so It should be interesting come September.
Elsewhere, Alex Levy won the European Tour's Shot of the Month for January. His ace at the fourth hole of the Emirates Golf Club during the third round of the Omega Dubai Desert Classic received over 55% of fan votes in the poll. The Open de España, one of the oldest and most celebrated tournaments in continental Europe, will return to the European Tour this April after its absence from the schedule in 2017. The Centro Nacional de Golf in Madrid, the home of the Royal Spanish Golf Federation, will host the 91st playing of the event. Strange that it wasn't on the roster last year, but it's always well attended, isn't it? It's always a terrific tournament, and it's well represented by the Spanish Tour players themselves.
Well, it's a national title. I used to love playing the Spanish Open, especially when it was up in Madrid, Port de Hierro. Great golf, great courses in Spain, but yeah, it's a huge tournament. I mean, obviously, you want Sergio there, and in the days of when Seve used to play, I think it was Seve's last win actually on tour. But it's always been a great event and good to see it back.
Yeah, it feels right to have, you know, events in Spain regularly and certainly Madrid as well.
Definitely at the moment as well. I mean, you see the success that the sort of Irish Open's had with Rory back in it now. And you've got Ram, you know, Rafa Cabrera-Bale, Sergio Garcia. These guys are the top of their game in Spain. So it's nice to reward the country by having events there, taking the stars there. And they always support their events well and come out in thousands.
A little further into the future, St Andrews has been announced as the venue for the 150th Open Championship in 2021. It will be the 30th time that the Scottish course has staged the tournament. Last one, Jamie, of course, St Andrews, the Open by Zach Johnson in 2015. We usually get a very good winner, don't we?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't get much better than an Open at St Andrews. Nice for them to mark it on the 150th. And also interesting that it's getting the Senior Open this year as well, the week after Carnoustie hosts the Open. So we'll get to see it a little bit then and then wait until 2021, which will be another amazing week.
Of course, all the news is always announced on the European Tour. And the European Tour does a terrific job on all social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat and so on. There's always plenty of videos as well over the course of the week. What can fans who listen to the podcast might not look at the website every single day, what can they generally get over the course of a tournament week, Jamie?
Yeah, the interesting thing that we're trying to do with the website and our social channels at the moment is basically give the fans what they want. We're lucky in that we get a lot of analytics back, a lot of comments back, a lot of emails and social comments telling us what they like, what they don't like. So the way that we try and recap an event, for an example, we'd create a little 3-minute clip that's got most of the shots that Joost Luiten hit yesterday in his final round so people can go and get a feel for what it was like without having to watch a 6-hour telecast because of the way consumption's changing. But we're always looking to create sort of funny big picture videos as well with the players, show off their personality, show off the events, and that's something that we've been having a lot of meetings with recently. And I can't tell you what's coming up, but I can tell you that if
oh,
you thought,
come on, tell us.
Yeah, I mean, last year was such a great year. We had, you know, the little kid being surprised at Wentworth.
That was sensational. Have you seen that, John? That is absolutely sensational.
Yeah, I have seen that.
And we had, luckily, amazingly, it's just been nominated for a big sports award that we're going to go and hopefully see how we get on there in April. And that kind of thing. We're just trying to make golf more fun to watch, more fun to engage with. We're trying to show off these players that have such a great personality away from the course. And we're lucky that they all buy in so much. So we've had a lot of chats recently and we've got some real plans for this year moving forward with potentially a few more world record attempts, potentially a few more sort of fan surprises and things like that. So be aware if you're going to be at an event and there's a camera around, you could be part of our next video.
Could be on camera, John. First time for everything?
Well, that's right, yeah. I mean, the last time I was on that would have been Crime Watch a month ago.
That just about wraps it up for this week's Race to Dubai show. Don't forget that you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and leave us a review if you are feeling friendly. Join us next week when we'll look back on the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters and also preview both the WGC Mexico Championship and the Shwani Open. It's a double match week, so to speak, next week. John, are you here next week?
In the country or breathing?
This podcast next
week. No, I am not here.
Because it's a double match week, you get paid twice.
Yeah, no, I
heard
that.
Are you here?
No.
I am. Terrific. But for now, from Jamie Kennedy, enjoyed your company, Jamie. Thank you.
That was great, thanks.
From Mr. John Hawksworth, as always, enjoyed your company.
Bye.
And from me, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We will speak soon.